First up, a Go Loud original from News Talk.
Good morning, it's Wednesday, April 21st. I'm Shane Beattie.
And I'm Kim Buckley, and this is First Up, all the news you need to start your day.
On this morning's edition, justice for George Floyd.
We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty.
Health officials consider the Johnson & Johnson jab.
And new offerings from Apple.
First up this morning, the news that former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin's been found guilty of the murder of George Floyd. Our reporter Ben Finnegan joins us now to discuss this. What has the reaction been to this overnight, Ben?
Well, Kim, just after 10 p.m. Irish time last night, Judge Peter Cahill, he read out the verdict of the jury in Minneapolis, finding Derek Chauvin guilty on three counts: second degree unintentional murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. It was May 25th last year when Derek Chauvin knelt on the neck of the 46-year-old unarmed black man for 9 minutes. The incident was filmed by bystanders and sparked global protests. Now, speaking from the White House last night after the verdict, U.S. President Joe Biden says the fight against racial injustice doesn't stop now.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Those are George Floyd's last words. We can't let those words die with him. We have to keep hearing those words. We must not turn away. We can't turn away.
So what happens now to Derek Chauvin, Ben?
Well, Kim, he applied for bail last night immediately after the verdict of the jury was read out, but it was refused by the judge. He'll now spend the next 2 months in Minnesota Correctional Facility at Oak Park Heights, around 30 kilometres outside Minneapolis. Sentencing is expected to take place in June, and he could be given a sentence of up to 40 years. While there are three other police officers who were involved in the murder who still need to be tried, they're expected to have a trial together on charges of aiding murder and manslaughter, and they're to go before a judge in August.
Thanks a million, Ben, for joining us on First Up this morning.
Health officials will today consider new advice on the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine and whether to use the jab in Ireland. The European Medicines Agency has found there's a possible link between the vaccine and very rare blood clots, but it says the benefits of the jab outweigh the risks. The National Immunisation Advisory Committee will now recommend whether it should be used here, with the decision due in the coming days. Dr. Gerald Barry, an assistant professor of virology in UCD, says NIAC may recommend it only be used on over 60s.
The suggestion from the EMA is that any side effects associated with clotting that have been seen have occurred in people below the age of 60. So potentially NIAC might go in that direction in a very similar way to the AstraZeneca, where they'll put an age restriction on it. But the challenging thing is that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine are really important for the overall rollout in the country. So I think they have to weigh that balance.
Almost 392 litres of homemade alcohol was seized in Irish prisons last year. Nearly half was found in Mountjoy Prison, involving 192 litres of hooch. That's followed by 82 litres in Portlaoise, 41 in Wheatfield Prison in Dublin, and 35 in Cork Jail. Former prison officer John Cuff says hooch has been popular among inmates for many years.
It's quite easy to make and it's quite easy to store. It's generally made up of fruit, apples, oranges, bananas, sugar mixed in with that. White bread is soaked. It's then put away to ferment. Normally goes in these, you know, large 2 litre Coca-Cola bottles. They tend to stick it under beds near radiators, places like that. Storage areas where cleaning goods are kept. So easy to make, easy to hide, and staff are always on the lookout for it.
Delays spanning a decade, stonewalling and lack of basic supports like food and accommodation. These are just some of the painful experiences bereaved families can expect from the state when a loved one dies in suspicious circumstances. The Irish Council for Civil Liberties and leading international experts will present a damning new report on the coroner's service in Ireland later this morning. Liam Herrick, Executive Director of the ICCL, joins me now with the details on First Up. Good morning, Liam. Your report is called Left Out in the Cold. So what does it find about the coroner system here?
We believed for a long time that there seemed to be real problems in Ireland with how we investigated these deaths. We were looking at how there has been a lot of reform of the investigation of deaths in Northern Ireland and England and Wales. And in 2018, we commissioned Professor Phil Scraton from Queen's University Belfast to look into this for us. Now, Phil is well known to many people in Ireland because he was the leader, really, of the campaign for justice for the victims of the Hillsborough disaster and has been a leading authority on how you investigate contested deaths over several decades. So this morning we'll be publishing that report, and that report will find that there are many key respects in which the Irish system of investigating deaths doesn't meet basic human rights standards in terms of having an effective, independent investigation of the death within a reasonable time, which fully respects and keeps informed the families of the bereaved.
Your report also suggests that there's not much independence between the coroner service and Gardaí.
Really, I suppose at the heart of the problems here are the failure to properly resource and structure an independent coroner system. And the government in Ireland over 20 years ago made a decision that it was going to have a root and branch reform of the system to have a better funded independent coroner system, but that was never actually acted on. So the difficulty that we have is that outside of Dublin, it is a part-time service which relies very heavily on members of an Garda Síochána to carry out investigations for it. But there will be instances in which an Garda Síochána is one of the bodies which might be investigated in the course of a coroner's inquest. And that then presents an obvious difficulty about independence. I think there are deeper questions about independence as well in relation to other state agencies. And families complain that often in an inquest, they won't have access to legal representation, but state agencies, hospitals, the guards and other bodies will be heavily represented, including often by senior counsel. So families end up in a very unequal situation where they feel really that they're peripheral to the process.
Liam Herrick, Executive Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, thanks for joining us on First Up.
All six English clubs who initially proposed joining a European Super League are now withdrawing from the breakaway tournament. Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea and Tottenham have joined Manchester City in confirming their decision. They're pulling out of the controversial competition, with organisers saying they plan to reshape the project.
And Apple has announced a range of new products, including a device tracker, updated iMacs and iPads, and a podcast subscription service. A gadget called AirTags can be attached to your valuables and tracked via an iPhone if they get lost. The tech firm has also revealed thinner iMac computers and faster iPads, while a new paid podcast option is aimed at competing with Spotify.
And that is First Up for this Wednesday, April 21st. I'm Kim Buckley.
I'm Shane Beattie. Please start your day with us again tomorrow.
In the meantime, you can check out all the news you need on newstalk.com.
Talk tomorrow.
Bye.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.